So it's 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 7 down to verse 11. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I'm just going to pray as we start, as we look into God's word together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can come together so freely to look at it. We pray now that as we dive into the meaning of this passage, as we look for your help to understand it, we pray, Lord, that you'd open our eyes, open our hearts, to be receptive to what you're going to be saying to us. And Lord, please change us as a result. Help us to see the great gifts that you give. Help us to treasure them and to find such joy in them. So Lord, we pray for your help as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So thinking about gifts, we've already thought a little bit about gifts this morning with the kids. What sort of gifts do we get? What do we like to get? Maybe you can think in your mind the sort of gifts that you're hoping for this Christmas. But the gifts that we get, what do they tell us? What do these gifts that we get, what do they tell us about the givers? Maybe the gift that you're getting does something in particular, something you need around the house. Maybe something techy, maybe it's a new pair of headphones when your headphones have started to break. And how do we respond when we get given gifts? What's our response to the giver? Well, this passage that we're looking at this morning, these few verses, they speak about gifts that we get from God, but namely we're focusing on God's gift of his Son. And this gift of his Son shows us his love. When we get gifts from people, it's a sign or demonstration of their love for us. It's a token, it's a sign that we love someone when we give them a gift. Maybe we don't think that as we do that, but it's a sign of love as we give gifts. Well, how do we know that we're loved? How can we tell? Are there things that we can do to show someone our love? Someone might tell us, someone might show us with actions. Well, maybe you're trying to think of a way to show your boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife or brother or sister how much you love them this Christmas. Or maybe that's not on our radar. We just need to be done with something nice and that'll be it. That'll be good enough. Well, gifts demonstrate our love, don't they? Maybe with our actions, the way we look out for others, caring for someone, giving them a lift, taking out the rubbish, changing a nappy in the middle of the night. These demonstrate love. Actions that show love. Well, this passage is showing us where love comes from. Look at verse 7. It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Verse 8 says, God is love. It's the essence of his being. All that is shared and experienced in the world, all the love that is shared comes from God. It's who he is. It's in his character. It's in his nature. It's what God does. God does love. His actions are loving actions. His thoughts are loving thoughts. His justice is loving justice. Well, John explains, he tells us that love comes from God. That's where it comes from. He tells us that God is love. And in a way, as John is explaining this, that seems a little bit theoretical. We're being told, okay, John, we hear what you're saying. But what I mean is that John is telling us these things. These are statements that are true statements. But God did not leave those truths simply as statements. He did something. It's one thing to tell someone, I love you, but then to act in a way that's totally opposite. To not follow through, to show them with your actions. Well, God showed his love. He provided concrete, irrefutable evidence of his love. And that's the gift of his son. Look at verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. The gift of God's son shows us God's love. We can see and know how much God loves us when we look to Jesus. When we look at Jesus, we see, wow, God really loves me. We remember the birth of Jesus, especially at this time of year. But this concrete evidence of God's love is not primarily his birth, but his death. We see and know God's amazing love when we look to the cross. When we see what lengths God went to save us. That started with his incarnation, which is what we sing about and remember especially this time at Christmas. But it continues all the way to the cross and resurrection. And in fact, God's love is so immense. It was not for loving friends he died, friends who looked out for him, friends who loved him in return, but his enemies. Look at verse 10. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. The gift of his son shows without doubt the extent of God's love. He sent Jesus, his only son, to die. Jesus descended from heaven, becoming a frail human, just like us. Not only that, he gave up the glory of heaven for a lowly manger. Not only that, he humbled himself to death. Not only that, but death on a cross so that we could have life. This is love. It's the gift of God's Son. It mentions this phrase, an atoning sacrifice for our sins. What is love? God is love. And what's the ultimate display of that love? Concrete, absolute evidence of God's love. What is the gift of his son Jesus, who came to die to bring us life. So God's gift of his son shows us his love. We can see God's love when we look at the gift of his son. And this gift of his son doesn't just show us his life, but it deals with our sin and gives us life. Look at verse 9 and 10 again. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God's gift was powerful. It demonstrated his love. You think you might give someone a gift to show them your great love. The gift itself might be grand or useless. It might break. But God's gift was powerful. Jesus came to deal with our sin and to give us life. Jesus was sent by God as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. We see that in verse 10, that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. The idea of atoning sacrifice, or some translations might say propitiation, maybe they changed that because it was too difficult to say, but this idea is all about satisfying God's wrath against sin and being reconciled to God. You think about when we get angry, we feel like our anger needs to be satisfied. Our anger needs to somehow come out for us to be justified or satisfied. Well, the problem with us is that our anger is very often sinful. And our actions are very often sinful. And we don't know how to express that in a true and godly way. Well, God looks at the world and he sees sin. He sees wrong. And he has anger against that wrong, that injustice, that sin. And that anger needs to be expressed. That needs to be poured out because he's a righteous God. He's a holy God. And there's no way to satisfy God's wrath ourselves. Maybe if we have an argument or we upset each other, we can satisfy someone's anger with kind words or a nice gift or flowers. We can satisfy someone's anger that way. Whereas with God, his anger, his wrath needs to be poured out. It needs to deal with the injustice and sin that was there. And there's no amount of money that we can pay or good things that we can do or bad things that we can suffer which will satisfy God's righteous anger against our sin. Like when we're hurt by someone else, we feel that sense of injustice. Maybe nothing we've done wrong. We feel that injustice in us. Something needs to be paid for, but it's not our place to dish out justice. But while we have hurt and rebelled and abandoned and ignored and hated God unjustly, that's what we call sin. Walking away from God's ways. And God feels this injustice far more than we do. That feeling of being wronged, when I didn't do anything wrong, is far more powerful in God's heart than in ours. But because he is God, he must deal with this injustice. He must put things right. That's his character, because he's a holy God. And for people to rebel against God, this demands justice. You can't just get away with it. I was reading about this idea of a substitute, or this atoning sacrifice, is that Jesus takes our place. This atonement. He's satisfying God's wrath. And Jesus himself is the sacrifice. You know, I couldn't find any examples of where it's legal here to take someone else's place if you've committed a crime. I did come across stories, apparently in China. People pay other people who look similar to do the time for a crime they've committed. So if they were caught speeding or drink driving and they have a prison sentence for a year, they'll pay someone to go to court instead to take the sentence and to do the time. So it's not something that happens generally, that someone will take your place. But that's what Jesus is doing. Jesus came and he takes our place. Instead of us being punished, it's unheard of that someone else would do the time for a crime that I've committed. But that's exactly what Jesus has done. God sent his son to deal with our sin. This gift of God's son deals with our sin. Jesus' death satisfies God's anger against sin. The punishment that was owing was paid. And now the relationship between us and God can be restored. Jesus satisfied God's anger in his death, and he opened the way for reconciliation with God. God's gift of his son deals with our sin and gives us life. When we get given gifts, sometimes they're things we need, aren't they? Maybe they're very practical things or boring things. But sometimes we get things that we just want. We could do without them, but they're nice to have. Well, the gift from God was a matter of life and death. We desperately need Jesus because the problem of sin is like a barrier between us and God, and the result is death. God's righteous anger can only be satisfied by death because that's what the penalty for sin is, death. Imagine the scenario where someone was taken urgently to hospital and they need an urgent kidney transplant. It's a matter of life and death, and someone could volunteer to give a kidney replacement for them to save their life. It's not something that they would have to do, but could voluntarily do, and it's a matter of life and death. Well, we're facing death because of sin, but because God voluntarily came, because Jesus came, he dealt with our sin, we can be covered and forgiven because Jesus paid for it. So God's gift of his Son deals with our sin. And look at verse 9. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This gift gives us life. Jesus came that we might live through him, bringing us from death, that place of urgently needing help, intervention, that place of death to life. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice. He's the one that satisfies God's wrath. He himself was the sacrifice. And now trusting in him brings us from death to life. That gift of eternal life. That gift that'll never perish, spoil or fade. Not life like this forever, but eternity with him in God's incredible new creation. God's gift was incredibly powerful. It could deal with our sin. It can give us life. And it's for you. By simply trusting in Jesus, we can go from death to life, have our sin problem dealt with, and look forward to eternal life. So what does this gift mean for us? Sin is dealt with, and life eternal. God's gift of his Son deals with our sin and gives us life. So thirdly, God's gift of his Son inspires us to love one another. How do we respond when we get gifts? Are we grateful? Are we thankful? Do we grunt in thanks that, thanks very much? Do we politely ask, was there a gift receipt? When we receive a gift, is our attitude changed? Do we respond with thanks and joy and happiness? Or are we unmoved and just, well, I'm not in the mood, really? Well, if gifts we receive from one another can cause a change in us, God's gift even more so. God's gift of his Son inspires us to love one another. This thought of loving one another is like the bookends of these verses that we're looking at. Look at verse 7 and then verse 11. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Look at verse 11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We are to love one another in response to God's gift of his Son. It inspires us to love like this. Have you ever received a gift or maybe seen someone else give a gift and you've been inspired? I'd love to give like that. I'd love to have that sort of attitude. I'd love to be generous like that. Generosity can often inspire change in attitudes and behaviors. I came across a story of a woman who, when she was at a donut drive-thru in Massachusetts, she paid for the order in the car behind her. It happened to her previously, so she thought, I'll pay for the people behind me, just as a nice gift. But what she later found out was this sparked a chain reaction of drivers paying for the cars behind them, and the store reported that there was 55 drivers paid for the order behind them. Generosity often inspires us to change. Now, that's just a very small example, but that shows that generosity is contagious. When we truly see God's gift to us, when we really appreciate what he's done, our lives will be changed. We'll be inspired then to act in the same way towards other people, because of the way that God has acted towards us. He loves us by sending his Son, so therefore we would want to love each other and show that love that we have received. What is our motivation for loving one another? For serving one another? For serving God? Think for a minute, what is the motivation in your life for loving others, for loving God? Do we default into fear as our motivation? Is that our default, that, well, God will be pleased with me today if I live like this or if I love like that? Or actually, no, God, he's going to be angry with me if I do this or if I don't do that. While it's true that there are things that God loves for us to do, and it's very true that there are things that God hates for us to do, our motivation for obedience and loving others should be inspired by God's love, not out of a sense of fear of putting a foot wrong. Our obedience should be joyful. If the story about the donuts is true, and I don't see why it wouldn't be, it wouldn't have quite the inspiring quality if each driver only paid because they thought they should, because the other person did it for them. They did what? Well, I suppose I'd better do it for the next car. That's not the sort of love or generosity that we're thinking about. God's gift of his Son is the motivation for loving one another, a joyful, generous love, inspired by God's love, not grudgingly given, because, well, we suppose we'd better. Look at verse 7 again. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. When we love each other like this, we demonstrate that we are really his children, that we've been born of God, that we know God. What a great assurance, even to us, that we can be strengthened in our faith, that we know that by this act of loving each other, that God is working in my life. And it's a witness to those around us, that as they see this love shared among us, that they'd see God's great love for them. Finally, let's look again at verse 11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Since God loved us in this way, we must also love each other. The inspiration behind us loving each other is God's love, which is demonstrated in the gift of his Son. But that gift was such a great sacrifice. It was a sacrificial gift. He gave the best thing that he could give. His one and only Son. God gave himself. Jesus was God himself. God become man. So then if God so loved us in this way, how can we love each other sacrificially? How can we demonstrate our love to each other? Giving up our time, our precious, precious time. Our money, our hard-earned money. Our food. I did the shopping all myself this week. Our food. Are we going to share that with others? Even our sleep. So that someone else would be helped. So that someone else would be comforted. So that someone else would be supported. We need to love in such a way because God loved us. And we need God's help to live like this. We need his Spirit, which we'll see coming next week in this passage. We need the Spirit's help to remember, and we need to remind ourselves of this incredible gift. God's gift of his Son inspires us to love one another. So thinking about gifts, thinking about what gifts tell us, what they show us, what the gifts themselves do this Christmas, and how those gifts, how we respond to them, Let's be reminded this time of God's incredible gift. Let's be reminded of God's love, of sins forgiven and life offered, and of our motivation to love because of God's incredible gift of his Son. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you don't leave us in the dark. We thank you that you tell us about your amazing love. You tell us about your character of love. But Lord, we thank you so much that you showed us that love through the gift of your Son. This gift of Jesus, who came as a little baby, who grew and lived that perfect life, to die and rise again. Lord, we just thank you so much. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to respond in the right way to that gift, to accept it and have life given to us, forgiveness from sin. And Lord, we pray for your help to let that be the right motivator for how we live, not out of fear or duty, but Lord, that we would live in response to your amazing love. We need your help, and we thank you for your word that teaches us about your Son. Help us to be mindful of him this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.